Good morning. If you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 12 together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful time we had just to worship with you this morning and to lift you up. God, I pray that we would understand that you are the vine and we are the branches. And God, everything works great as long as we are connected to you. It's the moment we step away from that. It's the moment we get away from you that we find ourselves lost, needing help, needing direction. So Lord, I pray that you would help us today to understand what it means to be connected to the vine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got to be honest with you. I'm a little tired this morning, and this sounds kind of crazy, but I had the weirdest dream last night, and I thought it only fair that I share it with you. For the last 7 or 8 years leading worship, I always had this weird dream, and I'm not kidding, a lot. It's the same dream reoccurring, that I would get up here to lead worship, and all of a sudden we're ready to start church, and I turn around and my guitars are gone. They're just not there. And I'm like, oh, I must have left them in my closet, so I'll look for my guitars. They're not there. It's time to start church. I've had this reoccurring dream. I cannot tell you how many times in my life in the last 7 or 8 years. But last night, I woke up with the weirdest dream. I got here, and I welcomed everybody, and we got the service started. But then once we did, I just decided it was time for me to go change my clothes. So I walked off the stage into my office and began changing my clothes. And all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, wait a minute. I'm the lead singer guy. I kind of be out there. And I just left you all sitting here. So I don't know why I had that dream, but I can tell you I only brought one change of clothes and I'm not going anywhere. Okay. So I tell you that as I transition from one thing to the other. Here we go. This morning, hopefully you're already in John chapter 15, reading from what Rachel just read, verses 1 through 12. And I'm excited to share this with you. Last week, we talked about Jesus and the different things that he showed us of who he was, metaphorically, in the book of John. And I want to cover another one of those today. We even talked last week about how when I'm picking these worship songs each week, I pick certain ones, that one we just sang. For your goodness, for your mercy. All of those things we're singing are reminding us of who God is. There's other songs where we're making a commitment to God. I surrender all. Or, you know, created me a clean heart. And we're saying things to God through the songs. But Jesus, in the book of John, several times he told us who he was. He was talking to his disciples most of the time. But it speaks to us as well. And today, we're going to talk about him being the vine, and we are the branches. And if you remain in me, and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. That statement alone is pretty powerful. To say, as long as we're connected to the vine, all is well. But the moment you step away, we can do nothing. I want you to hold your place in John chapter 15, and I want us to bounce two chapters to John chapter 13. And I want to show you some interesting things that show us the importance of what Jesus is saying in this scripture. So you can bounce back to John chapter 13 while keeping your place in 15. And just a precursor here for just a moment, just for a little bit, we're going to have a bit of a Bible study. So just hold with me. I have put this on the back of the bulletin for you so you can follow along. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's probably even scriptures on there. But at least the parts I want you to catch are on the bulletin for you so you can follow along with me from there. But in John 13, we see Jesus and his disciples sitting down for what is called the Last Supper. Now, we're going to start reading in verse 12 in just a moment, but I want to give you an idea of what we're doing here. Jesus is sitting down with the disciples in what's called the Last Supper. Why is it called the Last Supper? It's the last time they're going to eat together before he is taken away and crucified. Now, if you were to bounce over in John chapter 18, Jesus would be taken away in the garden. He's arrested and then crucified. So we understand everything between John chapter 13, when we have the Last Supper, to John chapter 18. Everything in between is dinner conversation. It's Jesus talking to his disciples. And imagine this. Understanding this is the last time they're going to be together, don't you think Jesus thought that conversation through? Imagine you and I are going to sit down for dinner, and I begin the conversation by saying, this is the last time we're going to talk. I'm probably going to have thought about what I want to say in that moment, and it's going to be pretty important. So we're hearing some of the most important words of Jesus in this time. So let's look at John chapter 13. Again, reading verse 12. It says, when he had finished washing their feet. I'm going to stop right there so you can catch up. It was customary in this time that if people were sitting down to have dinner, to wash your feet, because they didn't sit at a table and chairs like we do. The feet, they would lounge. So they would lay across from one another. You've seen the picture of the Last Supper. People painted all the time of them lounging around and laying around. And a lot of times, someone's feet might be right by your head. So the last thing you want is nasty, dirty, smelly feet right beside you as you're chomping on your fried chicken, right? So Jesus, very humbly, takes a moment, and we're going to find out why in just a moment, but he begins to wash the feet of every disciple. So he's done this. He puts his clothes on and returns to his place. And then he says this, do you understand what I have done for you? I don't know that we can totally fathom that moment. I don't know that we can totally get the significance or how humbling that must have been. Can you imagine being in the presence of Jesus? We should be washing his feet, and he takes the time to wash their feet. But he says, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Keep that in mind. That's a great statement right there, that we should do what he has done for us. Verse 16, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is very simple, very clear scripture. Jesus is telling us just to do what he has done. He shows them the example by doing it himself. Now I want you to look at John chapter 13, verse 34. And 35 with me real quick. And look at what Jesus says as he closes out this moment. He says, a new command I give to you. Not an old command. It's a new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must. Here it is again. Love one another. Twice he says it. Let's go to verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you what? There you go. Three times he tells them, love one another. What he's saying here is unbelievers will not recognize you because of your doctrinal distinctive, nor by your dramatic miracles, nor by your knowledge of the word. Other people will recognize you as my disciples by your love for one another. Isn't that interesting? Just simply by loving one another, they're being a witness. They're being Christ's disciples. Now let's get back to our text. Flip back over to John chapter 15. And I'm going to look at verses 5 through 8. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Here it is again. What did he say in chapter 13 would allow people to know that you're my disciples? It was if we love one another. So here's what he says this time. If you're bearing much fruit, then you're showing yourselves to be my disciples. So in chapter 13, it's everyone will know that you're my disciples. It becomes showing yourselves to be my disciples. All right, hold tight with me, and we're just going to get deep for just a second. Now look at verses 9 through 12. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And there's so much packed in that one statement. We might get to that, I don't know. But look at verse 10. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And here it is again. He already said, remember, chapter 13, a new command I give you. And he said it three times. Love one another. Here he says in verse 12, my command is this. Love each other. And he takes it up a notch. As I have loved you. Again, we see the connection in these scriptures. And what he's really saying, after being the example, after washing his feet, after showing his love for each one of them, and after telling them, love one another, he then says the way to do that is to be connected to the vine. That's why it's so important that we are connected not to any vine, it says to the true vine. That is how we become like Jesus. Last week we talked about the good shepherd. And when we hear Jesus say, I am the good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep, he implied that there's a bad shepherd. And he even talked about the hired hand who, when trouble came, would just leave the sheep and run away. And he mentioned the good shepherd. Now he says, I'm the true vine. In other words, he's saying there is the ability to have a false vine. So we need to be connected to the true vine. And I believe that we spend a lot of time in this place, standing up here, whether it's me, Courtney, anybody else we have speak, we spend a lot of time focused on the false vines. Think about it. I could name 10 in an instant. False vines that we try to connect ourselves to in order to be happy, in order to find significance, in order to feel like we're going to produce fruit. We connect ourselves to things that are not the true vine. And I could spend an hour talking about that, and I still might not hit the one that you have a problem with. That one false vine that you tend to connect yourself to, who knows what it is. So rather than doing that, rather than focusing on the false vines, let's focus on the true vine and what it means to stay connected to him. And when we understand that, it all comes down to what fruit you are producing. You'll know if you're connected to the true vine by the fruit that is coming from you. Does this make sense so far? Pretty simple, right? So I want to show you the importance of being connected to this true vine. First, you must understand what the fruit looks like. We're not talking about apples, oranges, grapes. We get that picture. I think that's a great picture of good fruit being produced. I would love to have some of those grapes right now. They look really good. But in this moment, Jesus has already told us one of the secrets or one of the fruits that we should be producing, and that is love. And he even showed us how to do that. But what are some others? Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells us. The fruit. It does not say fruits of the Spirit. The fruit. Therefore, all of these are interconnected as one. You can't just love people but not be patient and not have peace in your life and no joy. But you just go around, well, I got a lot of love. I mean, I can love anybody. But when it comes to patience, I'm sorry, I don't have any of that. So these are the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things we should be producing in our lives if we are connected to the true vine. And who wouldn't want to be bearing this fruit? How nice would it be, Pat, if everybody walked around going, that Pat knows how to produce peace. I mean, he's just a guy that produces a lot of peace. Anytime I'm with him, I feel peaceful. That Jeremy, man, he knows how to just be patient with people. He's loving and patient anytime I'm with him. What better things could we be doing than these fruits that are mentioned right here? That's good stuff. And Jesus, he actually didn't ask us to do this. He commanded it. He said, a new command I give to you in John 13. And then he came back in 15 and said, this command I give to you, that you love one another. And as you do, the fruit will be obvious. I want to introduce someone to you real quick. As I was putting this sermon together this week, I began to think about people that I have witnessed this fruit beginning to come out of. And this gentleman came to mind. He and his wife, Rob and Jean Hennington, have been a part of our church for several years. But I called him over to my office and I said, hey, Rob, would you mind just sharing with people your experience of why you decided to get connected to the vine, what that looked like as the process went, and how are you producing this fruit now? And I'll get a little bit into this. I'm going to let him talk and then I'll fill in on the back end. So, Rob, would you come on up? Let's give him a hand, if you don't mind. I'm going to let you share.
Thanks, Chad. Like Chad said, he called me in and, you know, talked about showing fruit and stuff like that. But I don't know if you're expecting this, but I'd like to also talk about not showing fruit, because I spent the majority of my life, we went to church, we were in Sunday school. From the outside, we did all the things that you would anticipate. Okay, there's a Christian, right? I was my Sunday school teacher was a really godly example. I mean, I really looked up to him. He left and started the church. When that happened, things just kind of fell apart for me. And then I spent the next 10 years to the point where I wasn't in church. You would not have associated me with anything to do with Christianity. My sons can tell you I was not a good person to know. So we move here. And the thing, you know, I had this bad mindset, you know, church is, it doesn't change anything, whatever. You know, I believed that there was a God. I still believe there was a God and that Jesus was a Messiah, but I didn't really spend any time trying to get to know him or anything like that. So we're here, we're across the street, and the thing that made an impact on me was Aaron Douglas with my son Elijah. Seeing the changes really touched me. You people that work with the youth, you're affecting people way beyond you. Families, right? So I came to church, you know, and I'm still sitting in the back row, just, yeah, whatever. But, you know, I mean, bad attitude. And Stan came up here and said something right before he left. He said, if you're sitting here and you're like, why aren't people reaching out to me? You know, why aren't people asking me to do this or that or whatever? He's talking about me. Get up and get involved. Well, that's a novel concept, huh? I was the one being the hypocrite when I'm thinking church people are hypocrites. They don't really care. All this kind of stuff. So I started getting involved small. And the thing that made the difference is I started trying to immerse myself into what this Jesus was about. For the first time in my life, even though I had spent so many years in church and doing all the things that were churchy, I started reading my Bible. I started praying. That is abiding in the vine. Get to know the vine. I mean, if there's any, if my story relates to you, if you can feel what I'm saying, get to know Jesus. And you don't really have to do anything. People just start telling you, you're a really great friend. You've made an impact on my life. Thank you. I'm not really doing anything. I'm just trying to know Jesus.
That's good. Let's give him a hand. Yeah. Thank you, Rob. I cannot tell you how awesome it is to witness the fruit that is being produced through Rob. And I don't say this just to prop him up. Once again, a lot of times we stand up here and we use our own stories. And because that's what I have. But I love telling your stories because people need to know the difference God has made in your life. Because there is power in our testimony. Can you say amen to that? So I thank you, Rob, for sharing that. And really what it comes down to, Rob mentioned a few things that do help connect us to the vine. But I want to show you an important thing here. A lot of us, we give up too quick. We connect ourselves to that true vine, but if we don't instantly see fruit, then we just go, well, that didn't work, and we give up. But notice Jesus said something here. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So just by remaining, can you just catch this? Just by remaining, how many love watching the weather to see what it's going to do and if the weatherman's going to be right or not. Can I tell you something? When it comes to fruitfulness, when it comes to remaining in Christ, there's a 100% chance that you will bear fruit if you just remain. He promises that. He tells us that. Right there, remain in me and I in you. You will bear not just some fruit, much fruit. Look at John chapter 15, 1 through 5. The first five scriptures we read today. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit. So we start out just bearing fruit. And what does he do after that? He prunes. He cuts us back. It never feels good to get pruned. But we get pruned a little bit. And as we do, what happens then? We will be even more fruitful. So we went from being fruitful to more fruitful. But then if you go on down to verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So as we remain in Christ, once again, 100% chance that you're going to bear the fruit. But it doesn't just go to bearing fruit. We get to the point where we're bearing more fruit, and then we get to the point where we're bearing much fruit. Isn't that awesome? That's a great promise. Keep this in mind. So it's the in-between time that's the hardest. It's that moment when we finally decide, I'm going to connect to the vine, that small seed begins to be planted. And that's what I think about with what Rob was sharing with us. He decided, it started with the simple decision of, I'm going to step foot in this church. Even if I just sit on the back row and I don't do anything, at least I'm here. You know what? A seed was planted in that moment. And it began to grow because he remained and he remained and he remained. He's now, right now, we're in the middle of our Wednesday night small groups, and Rob is leading one of those. He is bearing fruit because he remains in the vine. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. So why do we need to remain? Why can't we just see the results right away? Here's what I want you to think about. Think about a grapevine, just like that picture you see there. Now, a grapevine takes 3 years from the moment it's planted before it will produce any fruit. 3 years. I'm not telling you, do not focus on the timeline. I'm not telling you it's going to be 3 years before you see any fruit, okay? So don't start, 3 years from now, I think I might be doing something. No, it can happen a lot quicker than that. But in the grapevine, and in its producing, it takes 3 years, and there's two types of growth that are happening, and this is what I want you to focus on. There's two types of growth that have to happen for that grapevine to produce fruit. The first thing is it's growing deep and strong into the ground. It's the roots that are growing deep and strong into the ground so that it can withstand bearing fruit. And the second is it's growing up and out. It's growing deep and strong, and it's growing deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fruit. Yeah, you all know what I'm talking about. You grew up in Sunday school, Bible school, whatever. The roots are growing deep, so you're growing deeper in God, deeper in God, deeper in God. And you're growing up and out so that you can bear the fruit. It's just down to remaining. Sometimes we get this not me syndrome. We think, no matter what, this will never happen to me. And we're watching other people and we see them and we think, man, that guy, man, he puts his job before his family all the time. That'll never happen to me. That will never be me. I will always keep my family first. Or we see another family that maybe quarrels and can't get along, and we're looking at them saying, man, can you believe that family? They can never get along. That'll never happen to us. Our family, we get along. We love God. We love each other. But here's the thing. In all the years, I mean, I grew up in the church. Okay, when I say that, I mean, my parents were pastoring since I was 4 years old. And before that, they were already in church. So probably the first week I was born, I was in church. I've been in there all this time in church. And I can tell you, here's the thing I need everybody to understand with me today. If you are not connected to the vine, anything is possible. I've seen the most godly people disconnect from the vine, and anything is possible. Something you never thought they would do. Something you never thought they would think. A place you never thought they would go. But it all started by disconnecting from the vine. How do we stay connected? How do we stay connected to that vine? Rob mentioned a few things that we can always implement into our life. God's word is one of them. Prayer is one of them. Once again, we stand up here every week and we promote these things. Worshiping God, staying connected to the church. We can run those things in the ground, but I want to give you two simple fundamentals that Jesus gave us in this story. Two simple things. The first one is do what Jesus says. The problem is too many times we lack the motivation to do so, but if you will just do what He says, He promises 100% fruit chance if you just do what I say. Now, I love this example. I would love to say it's mine, but it's not. I stole this. I think it was Francis Chan that gave this example one time, but I like it. He said, imagine a dad who goes to his son and he says, son, I need you to go clean your room. So the boy leaves and he comes back. Did you clean your room? No, dad, but I memorized what you told me about cleaning my room. Son, go clean your room. So he left and he came back and he's like, did you clean your room? No, dad, but I went to church and we studied how good it feels to clean your room and what it feels like and what it's like and the way you clean your room and the best way to do it. And he said, but you didn't clean your room? No, go clean your room. And so he left and he came back. Did you clean your room? No, dad, but I got together with four friends and we sat down, we had coffee and we opened the Bible and we talked about how good it feels to clean your room and the ways you can do it. And they had this discussion about cleaning their room. But did you clean your room? No. Go clean your room. So he left and he came back. You know where I'm going here, I think. But he left and he came back and he said, did you clean your room? And he said, no, Dad, but I went to a conference and I had this really good speaker. And he talked about how good it is to clean your room and all the ways you can clean your room. And he gave the Greek word for clean, which is klineo. And I got a tattoo that says in Hebrew that says clean your room. And it reminds me every day that I should clean my room. Do you clean your room? No. Just do what Jesus says. Just clean your room. Just love one another. Just be patient. Be kind. Be joyful. Have peace. You kids can try that at home. I dare you. Just do what Jesus says to do. Whatever it is. Number two is love like Jesus loved. Once again, this is not just a suggestion. It's a command. That He said, my command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. This is His most important moments with His disciples, and these are the things He shared. And here's the deal. Like I said earlier, He brought it up a notch because He didn't just say love one another. Because we all have a different idea of what love may be. We were all raised in a household where people said they loved us, or maybe they didn't. Or maybe they showed their love in a certain way. And so you can have an idea of what love is, but Jesus said, don't just love people the way you're loved. Love people the way I have loved you. This is the most simple message in the world today. If we understand, if we will do what Jesus says, if we will love as Jesus loved, we'll stay connected to the vine. We get a little confused in this sometimes, and I want to make sure you understand. We don't keep His commandments so that He will love us. It's the other way around. We love Him so much that we can't help but want to keep His commandments. I love my wife. Some of you were around for this marriage event we had a year or two ago. And Courtney talked about every night I like to have a drink by my bed. And when we get up in the morning, I walk over to the bathroom sink in our room and I pour it out and I set the cup right there. And I leave it right there and I walk away. Why I don't take it to the kitchen, I don't know. I've gotten better somewhat. I still leave them there once in a while. But I've gotten better. But that was just my thing, was I would get up, I'd go make sure I poured the water out because I didn't want to spill it. But then I would just set the cup down. And for a long time, she would just let them stack up. We'd get a stack of cups because she's like, I'm not moving those things. And finally, she just, you know what? I love him enough. I'm just going to move it. But here's the thing. I know that she wants them to be moved. I know she doesn't want them there. Do I, in that moment, when I'm going to set that cup down, do I stop and then say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take this to the kitchen. And as I'm walking to the kitchen, I'm thinking, boy, my love for Courtney is just growing every step of the way. No. The reason I want to carry that cup to the kitchen is because I already love her and I want to please her and I care for her and I care how she feels about me. So I will carry that cup. And it's exactly why we do the things for Jesus. It's because of our love for Him that we do the things we do, that we love others. It's not because of out of loving others, He will love us. Keep that in mind as we picture being connected to the vine. It's out of love for Jesus that we want to connect ourselves to the vine. So my question today is, what's the one thing you could do to show people you love them. Jesus set it as an example. He washed the disciples' feet. And I can tell you, you're probably going to weird some people out if you went to your neighbor, you knocked on their door, and they open the door and you splash water on their feet and you start rubbing them down. You're like, I'm just going to wash your feet. Okay, they're going to slam the door in your face and they're going to never talk to you again. What is the thing that you could do to simply humble yourself before others and show them the love that Jesus has showed us? That's the thing we're looking for today. I can't give you that thing. It's just like when we talked about connecting to the false vine. I can't know exactly what your false vine is. I cannot tell you what exactly God wants you to do. But if you will check your heart, I promise you something is there. And if you will obey God in that moment when he's speaking to you, I promise you, if you remain in him, the fruit will begin to produce. It's not because I can promise that. It's because he promises that. It's his words, not mine. Notice John chapter 15, verse 13. After he said all of this, after he said this about loving one another, he then says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. He raised the standard again. Now he's saying, die for your friends. But he didn't give them this long list of things to do. He just says this. Why did he say that? It's because Jesus understood we're incapable of loving like Jesus loves apart from the vine. It's impossible. It's just not our nature. We're too selfish of people to be able to love unless we are connected to the vine. So he's showing us the importance of just staying connected. So here's a question for you as we close this thing up and as we call it a day in understanding that Jesus is the true vine. I want you to think for a moment, what fruit are you producing in your life? Yeah, it gets awkwardly quiet for a moment. I literally want you to think about that. What fruit are you producing in your life? Is your home a home of unrest because of the fruit you're producing? Is your workplace a place where people like to come? Or do they avoid it because of the fruit that you're producing? How many of you would be honest and say, I just want to produce good fruit. I want to produce the fruit that's connected to the true vine. I'm looking for hands that would just honestly, you don't have to bow your head. You don't have to close your eyes. I think that's all of us, is it not? So I want us all to stand in this moment. I've been praying about this all week, trying to determine how do I want to close this out? How do I want to end this moment for us to ask ourselves, what kind of fruit are we producing? So I know sometimes we're worshiping and we'll raise our hands and praise God, and some people may not be comfortable doing that, but here's what I want us to do. We're going to pray together, all of us, and I'm going to ask you to do something with me. Can we just hold our palms out like this? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? The reason our palms are open is we're letting go of whatever false vine we've been connected to. Once again, you know what it is. There's probably some in my life that I'm letting go of right now. It's probably not the same as you. So Heavenly Father, as we stand here with our palms open, we're letting go of all of those things we've connected ourselves to, maybe out of comfort, maybe because we've just been connected so long to those things, we may not even realize it. You may be speaking to us right now through your Holy Spirit, telling us what we are to let go of. I pray that we would not cling to those things anymore. They're producing the wrong fruit. In Jesus' name. Now with your palms right there, can we just close them? And in this moment, as you close those palms, I mean, picture that you're grabbing onto something that you could never let go of. You're going to let the fingerprints be just stuck in that vine that you are grabbing hold of right now. It's the true vine. And there's nothing like it. And if you are connected to that true vine, here comes the fruit, baby. It's 100% chance if you will just connect and remain in the true vine today. Heavenly Father, as we are standing here today, Lord, we are connecting to the true vine, Jesus Christ, in our lives. And may he be placed in our hearts like never before. And as we leave this place today, may we be empowered as those fruit seeds begin to grow, Lord, that we're going to see them begin to grow, and we're going to see them begin to bear the fruit that you have called us to bear. Once again, it's different for each one of us. Some of us have a little more love than others. Some of us have a little more patience than others, but they're all together. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. May we produce those today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to know I love you. God loves you. And as you leave this place today, I just encourage you. The same love that you have been loved with, we are to in turn love others. Can we do that and say amen to that today? Amen. Do we serve a good God? Come on. Can you say amen to that? God bless you. Have a great week. If you do need prayer for something and you didn't come forward earlier, Courtney and I are right down here. We'd love to talk to you. If you're new here, Courtney and I would love to get to know you. So please come down, introduce yourself. Have a great day and have a great week.